Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A lump of clay has no clue what its potter intends to make out of it. Jeremiah chapter 18 tells how God views Israel as clay on his wheel. Today, getting a right view of ourselves and a right view of God. Then life can begin to make sense. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the church in Babylon. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us to Jeremiah 18 to talk again about Israel, clay in the potter's hands.
But we have to back off just a moment, catch our breath, and ask ourselves this question. Does God the Father sometimes fail when he's making a vessel? Clearly, this potter was making a vessel that didn't turn out to be what he had in mind. Does God fail? Today, it seems as if we have hundreds of students here from the Moody Bible Institute. I suggest that you ask your professors that tomorrow morning, whether or not God fails. The fact is this, that, and this is the time when I wish this wasn't just a sermon. A classroom would be ideal where we could talk back and forth and clarify. But this has to be a sermon. You can't talk back to me out loud right now. You can in your mind, but not directly. But let me say this, that when it comes to God's eternal purposes, his invisible eternal purposes, God, of course, never fails. God always achieves his purpose. Our God is in the heavens. He can do whatever he pleases and does do whatever he pleases. God never, never fails in his eternal purpose. And the reason for that, and I know that some of you apparently were going to clap. I'll give you that opportunity maybe a little later on. The reason for that is because God, even in his sovereignty, has in mind something for the vessels of destruction of all things. Paul makes that clear in the 9th chapter of Romans. I tell you, this is going to be a tough message that for some of you, you may turn away, but for others, it's going to be the means of deliverance. So hang on with me. The fact is that God even uses marred vessels, spoiled vessels for his eternal purposes. So God never fails in his eternal purpose. But if you look at it narrowly, and you look at that through a very narrow lens, it certainly appears to us as if God has one thing in mind and it doesn't turn out to be the way in which God intended it. And so the first vessel is actually spoiled and marred in the hands of the potter. Now there's a fourth picture that we have to take today. And the fourth picture is the next vessel that the potter makes. You'll notice it says that, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. I'm still in verse 4. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. It is the fourth picture. It is the other vessel. Now, you and I might, if we were working with this lump of clay, and it was lumpy, and it lacked symmetry, and it resisted what we were trying to do, and that, of course, is the impression here, that Israel was clearly resisting what God intended to do, we'd probably say to ourselves, well, let me take that lump of clay and let me simply throw it away against the wall. Eventually, it will become hardened and it'll be entirely useless. And let me take a brand new lump and make a vessel that I think is going to turn out much better. You and I would do that. But I find it interesting in the text that this particular man, this particular potter, doesn't do that. He takes the lump of clay and the Bible says he remakes it. That is, he takes it and he crushes it. And he starts over again, as it were, so that he can finally make it into the vessel that really will be a blessing to him, a vessel unto honor, and one that is for his use, so that it can become a flower pot, a water pot, rather than a crack pot. I thought I'd throw that in to just see if you were totally with me here. Now, when he reshapes it, aren't you glad that God uses the same piece of clay? In the case of Israel, God says, I'm going to reshape you. It won't be that same generation of Israelites. It'll be another generation of Israelites. But we believe that a day is coming when God is even going to reshape Israel. And Israel will still recognize its Messiah. And eventually, that nation to which it is referred here, you'll notice the Bible applies this. Verse 5. Verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord. God is going to remake the nation. The nation is going to recognize that Jesus is Messiah, and God is going to get glory from the vessel that will please him. But in our case, you see, what God does is he remakes the vessel. He begins with the raw material. And then when we come to know him as Savior, what does he do? What does a potter do after he has shaped the clay and it's the proper size? What the potter does is he puts it into a kiln. That is a furnace, a blast furnace. I don't know how many degrees it takes, but of course it is glazed, and then afterwards it is glazed. It is in this oven that bakes that vessel. And I can imagine that if that vessel could talk, it would say, no, 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 it's too hot. But the potter keeps his hand on the thermostat, and he knows what is best for that vessel, and he turns up the heat because he's after something. He's after a very special vessel. And it can't be all that it can be unless it is put into the furnace. Yesterday, Rebecca read to me a blog of someone who's going through a very hard time. It's somebody whose child is actually dying of cancer. And this woman spilled out her heart to God she said, I'm angry with God, and she just wrote everything out. And you know, I don't judge her. And I'll tell you why, because all of us have felt that way. You know, when you read the Psalms, someday I'm going to preach on this. Someday I'm going to preach on the need for many people to forgive God. Not that he personally needs forgiveness, but we had better take care of some issues that we have with God. But we've all felt this way. David felt this way in the Psalms. I'll point that out when I preach on it someday, where David said, things like, I'm giving my complaint to God. God, where are you when I need you? Why is it that you give me always night and never day? And on and on and on he goes. God can handle your doubts. He can even handle your anger. At the end of the day, though, I have no doubt that this woman will pass the test. But now when the heat is on, she's screaming like many of us have screamed and say, why and no, God? And by the way, when I was in Brazil, had a few moments, I wrote down 11 or 12 questions I'd like to ask God someday. God is even more mysterious to me in many ways the older I get than when I was younger, when I thought I had him figured out. I have officially given up trying to figure God out. Because you see, of the mystery, I mean, why do young people die and good people die and the evil live long lives? I mean, there's so many things about God we don't understand. But he says, trust me, I'll put you in the furnace and I will make you into the vessel that I desire. And when the kiln had done its work, when the furnace had done its work, the other vessel was exactly what the potter wanted. And so there is the remade vessel. Now, what are the lessons that should be transforming for us individually, first of all as a nation, and then even as us as individuals? Let me give you two at least. Number one, what this passage teaches is that God is sovereign, not just in your life and mine as he makes us into the vessel that he desires, not just that, but he's sovereign over nations. Let me read it to you again. Verse 7. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then will I relent of the good that I had intended to do it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return everyone from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. And how does the nation respond? I think it responds like much of America is responding today. But they say, it is vain. We will follow our own plans, and everyone will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Thank you very much, God. But we are going to resist the potter at every opportunity, and we will say, we will reshape ourselves into the vision individually and collectively as a nation. We will reshape ourselves into the kind of people and nation we want to be. And we will not listen to the voice of the Lord. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I don't know about you, but the book of Jeremiah sometimes just takes my breath away. Repeatedly, God warns the nation. God tells the nation that if they don't repent, there are going to be severe consequences, that there is a power in the north that is going to be on its way and carry them into captivity. All of this was said by Jeremiah and said repeatedly. Have you read the book of Jeremiah recently? You'll find that every chapter, it seems to me, every chapter highlights the judgment that is coming, but the people would not listen. And when you look at history and then you go into the book of Daniel, as we shall also do in this series, you discover that everything that God said came to pass. I'm so glad that you are listening today to Running to Win, and that gives me some indication that I'm sure your heart is open to God. Let's pray in our own lives and in our churches that God might still turn us from our evil ways.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Israel, Clay in the Potter's Hand. Another message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, realizing who's really in charge. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.